Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at VanDiest Medical Center. I'm your host, Lori Foster, and on today's program, we're going to be talking about Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Before we start into our program, I do have a few announcements I'd like to share. The October Seniors and Law Enforcement Together SALT meeting, as we call them, will be held Thursday, October 2nd, beginning at 9 a.m. at the Montgomery Memorial Library in Jewell. Refreshments will be served, and we will have VanDiest Medical Center staff providing free blood pressure checks. The meeting will start at 9:30 with announcements from local law enforcement and officials from area agencies, as well as upcoming events from around Hamilton County. Randy and Virgene Monty with Wreaths Across America will present the program. Wreaths Across America is a nonprofit organization dedicated to honoring and remembering fallen U.S. veterans by coordinating wreath-laying ceremonies at cemeteries across the country each December. Their mission is to remember the fallen, honor those who serve, and teach the next generation the value of freedom. SALT meetings are free and open to the public. We are excited. This will be a terrific program. We hope you'll join us again Thursday, October 2nd, in Jewell at the library. We also are hosting another session of Better Choices, Better Health. And this is Iowa's Chronic Disease Self-Management Program. It is a free, interactive, six-week workshop series that will meet on Thursdays beginning October 2nd through November 6th from 9:30 in the morning to 12 o'clock noon. Each session is led by two certified instructors. The program is designed to help participants gain confidence and take charge of their health. The program covers practical tools to manage ongoing health conditions while staying active. To register for the program or to learn more, you can contact Amy McCullough at 515-832-7730. And then I do want to mention we have a number of new providers who have joined our physician and provider team at VanDiest Medical Center. Dr. Matt Allred was with us on last week's program. He is a family medicine physician who has joined VanDiest Family Health Clinic in Webster City. He joins his wife, Giselle Allred, who is a nurse practitioner, who also is a provider at the clinic in Webster City, and he is now seeing patients. To make an appointment with Dr. Allred, you can call the clinic at 515-832-7800. We also have physician assistant Joe Harris, who has been on the program as well. He is new to the VanDiest Family Health Clinic in Fort Dodge. He is also now seeing patients. You can call 515-955-9200 to schedule with Joe. And we also have nurse practitioner Lee Carlson, now seeing patients in the Stratford Clinic on Thursdays through the end of October. Physician assistant Tanya Oden sees patients in the Stratford Clinic on Tuesdays. Otherwise, she sees patients in the Jewell Clinic. And then we have Lee seeing patients in the Stratford Clinic on Thursdays. You can schedule an appointment with Lee by calling 515-832-7800. And then lastly, we're so excited. This is the week. It's finally here. We have our VanDiest Medical Center Foundation 10th annual golf outing happening this Friday, September 26th. I'm so excited. The weather looks fantastic. We're going to get things underway at noon out at the links. We do have live entertainment that will follow the golf from 5 to 7. Music will be provided by Colton Woods, Tucker Murray, and Jace Abens. There will be food and drink available for purchase during that time. We certainly want to thank all of our sponsors and participants. This is going to be such a terrific event. Proceeds from this year's event will support patient care needs, specifically in the respiratory therapy department. And I will be excited following the golf tournament to share all of our terrific sponsors with our listeners on this program. So thanks once again to the terrific support that we have received for our golf outing. And with that, we are ready to start into our program today. As I mentioned, September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, so this is a terrific time to be talking about this topic, and no better person to join us than our nurse practitioner, Jade Williams. Good morning, Jade.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So I will let you share a little bit about the importance of raising awareness about ovarian cancer, especially during this month.
Yes. So as Lori mentioned, this is September is the National Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. And for those who might not know, I have my own personal journey with ovarian cancer. I'll be coming up on my 2-year anniversary this October from diagnosis, which is very exciting. I was diagnosed, like I said, in 2023 with a rare type of ovarian cancer, clear cell adenocarcinoma, and went through treatment, multiple surgeries, as well as 6 rounds of chemotherapy, and continue to follow with my medical oncology and gynecological team down at Iowa Clinic with and doing great. So I wanted to just bring some awareness, as there is a walk, the Teal Walk, as it's called, this Saturday in Des Moines at Raccoon River. It's a free event, and you can register online at ovarian.org. The event starts at 9 a.m. You can walk by yourself or in honor of someone you may know. You can also develop teams. The primary goal is just to bring awareness. There'll be various different events and things like that going on, and so I encourage you, if you don't have anything planned for your Saturday morning, this would be something great to get the family or yourself outside and see what it's all about. So, you know, jumping in regards to ovarian cancer, I'd like to just briefly discuss what it is and what types of things to be looking for, and of course how and what to do if you feel like you're experiencing any of those symptoms. So a general overview is needed of essentially the female anatomy. And in regards to that, we're talking specifically the reproductive system. And so typically, if you are a female born, then you're going to have a uterus, as well as branching off of their right and left fallopian tubes. And from there, an ovary attached to both, with a cervix transcending down into the vagina. And so ovarian cancer is really just a group of diseases that originates in your ovaries, fallopian tube, or the peritoneum. So that would be the surrounding tissue or cavity. And from there, typically we see women who may start to experience certain signs and symptoms, such as abdominal pain or bloating, feeling full after eating, might experience some types of weight gain or weight loss, pelvic discomfort, and this could be with activity or without, increase in fatigue, and this could be also basically general as well. You could be active and still experience fatigue, or just, you know, continue to wake up feeling unrested. You may even experience symptoms such as back pain, changes in your bowel habits, and frequency in urination. So as you can see, the symptoms are really vague, mm-hmm. and we can honestly rationalize those away.
Right? Nearly all of them. They are very general, and especially as women age, I think a lot of those that you mentioned, women could just think, oh yeah, you know, this is as I'm getting older, this is what I'm going to experience.
Right. So especially the fatigue. I mean, that's a generalized concern I get multiple times when seeing patients in the clinic is I feel tired. And then, you know, really we need to just kind of delve in and dive down to try and figure out if we can't figure out a root cause for that. Personally speaking, my signs and symptoms I was having was definitely the abdominal bloating. And that could be with or without eating. I was just noticing some generalized lower abdominal distension. You know, my clothes were fitting a little tighter, even in spite of the different interventions and things I was doing on a regular basis and how active I was. And then also, like, the weight gain then would come along with that because I myself was retaining fluid in my peritoneal cavity. Essentially, I had fluid collecting in there, and so that was causing some of that weight gain as well as distension or bloating. And then I was also experiencing increased fatigue. You know, when I was at my, what I would call my peak performance or peak physical ability, I was needing to consume really high amounts of caffeine just to get through a day. And I was relating it primarily to the level of activity that I was doing. But in reality, it was probably a combination of the things. I mean, was I working and working out hard? Yes, I was. But I also was, you know, experiencing this fatigue because my body was dealing with something and didn't really know what to do.
Right. Unknown to you.
Right. So it was just an additional stress on top of the stress I was already placing on myself to meet my own goals. And then back pain, you know, specifically for myself, that was this unrelenting left-sided hip pain. And that was the side that the tumor was on. And really, I just thought that was related to lifting weights and running. I figured it was like, oh, I had tweaked something and the hip pain just continued to progressively get worse and traveled down my leg, which a lot of times we would then assimilate that to what we call sciatica. But the back pain just never really went, went away. Until the tumor was gone. And then it finally resolved. And then the changes in the bowel habits. Mine, unfortunately, was constipation and frequency in urination. That was probably the biggest complaint out of all of them that I had. I mean, the back pain, I just kind of accepted and figured it was part of what I was doing. And dealt with that and took, you know, lots of ibuprofen and different things. But for the frequency in urination, that was abnormal. And it's not, I never have experienced that type of frequency before. And there was a lot of pelvic discomfort, I guess. It wasn't like a urinary tract infection, though, but it was just this weird fullness that you experienced. And you know, you had to run to the bathroom. And at 30, as an older 30 something, when I was going through this, that was not a typical thing I was experiencing. Although a lot of times, you know, we can contribute urinary frequency to having multiple children or going through menopause or things like that. So it is a vague symptom, but something that should be definitely evaluated. And like I said, you know, so if you are experiencing any of these types of symptoms, that would be something you would want to make an appointment with your provider and further evaluate, because unfortunately there's no routine screenings available for this type of cancer. We don't have, you know, a yearly exam, specifically that can allude to, an issue. You know, you can go and have a pelvic exam and they can do a manual exam while they're doing that, where they would palpate around to see if they feel anything. But unfortunately, that's not going to provide you any definitive if, you know, if you are experiencing these. It could just be part of it. And it's not part of our routine health maintenance that we, you know, typically recommend. So if you do have any of these symptoms, it, like I said, you want to go and have a conversation with your provider about it, and then they can either initiate certain testing that they feel is important to help identify or kind of dial in why you might be experiencing those symptoms, but also they may need to refer you then to a specialist for further evaluation as well. Mm-hmm. So,
and again, what you're sharing with our listeners, I hear you saying to be in tune with your body. And, you know, it is easy to, you know, find a reason for this, what you're feeling, some discomfort, but really it's about listening to your body. And if there is something that maybe isn't the norm, there's something that's changed, don't dismiss that. You know, if it continues, maybe it is something you need to talk with your primary care provider about.
Right. And if you feel like, you know, maybe that's not in their wheelhouse or it's not sitting well with you, you know, there's no shame in going and getting a second opinion, right, or visiting or making that appointment yourself. A lot of gynecological providers don't require even a referral anymore from primary care. So you can maybe even overshoot the middleman essentially and make your own appointment. Because ultimately, it's your body and it's your peace of mind. So if you don't feel like, and this isn't just for, you know, concerns in regards to ovarian cancer or cancers, right, in general, but I'm just speaking freely in general. If you have a health concern and you don't feel like you're getting the answers that you looking for, or it's just not quite sitting well with mm-hmm. you, there's a multitude of other providers are available. Everybody practices medicine a little bit in their own way. We all bring our own experiences and education to it, and so there really is somebody out there that can mm-hmm. align with you and help you kind of figure it out, no matter how big or how small the issue is. Because ultimately, if it's weighing on you, then it's creating some stress in your life. And so there's a need to kind of allow somebody else to maybe take that off your plate, or at mm-hmm. least give you some answers. And then how can you maybe offset that issue? Not everything's curable or preventive, but there's a lot of resources these days to help make things more manageable,
right,
big or small. Mm-hmm. So
now I know that you mentioned that there are no screenings per se for ovarian cancer. In your case, maybe share with listeners how you were diagnosed then.
So I had kind of been sitting with the symptoms for quite a while. Actually, my symptoms had started in December of 2022. So I had COVID when I decided to start training for a half marathon because I was home and, you know, what else do you do with your time, I guess? And in my mind, I was like, I'm not going to, you know, let this virus, like, you know, keep
Take
me down.
You down
I'm home,
right?
I got all this extra time. So that was when I started running, and I had an Apple Watch at the time, and I still do. And it had captured when I had started running that my like VO2 max was extremely low. It was like 22, which is was very bizarre considering that I was, you know, heavy into working out, and I lifted and was doing other types of cardio activity and things like that. And, you know, for somebody my age, it should have been well in the 30s, you know, maybe even 40, realistically. And it had dropped significant. Well, I kind of just attributed that to the COVID, and it took a while actually to bring it up, and it got back up into the 30s when I really started training heavier in January. And so I didn't really think anything of it. And then shortly after that, I started experiencing just these vague symptoms. Like I began to have this weird left-sided hip pain that I couldn't really pinpoint. It was like this achy feeling, and I would catch myself kind of like rubbing my back a lot. And, you know, I'd tell my husband about it and whatever. And then I started having this weird breakthrough bleeding, which I had never had, you know, any issues with that before. And never had that issue. And so that was very bizarre, but I attributed that to my running. You know, as a female athlete, it's not uncommon as you stress your body and affect your hormones, you know, and all those different things, you can start to have various changes in your cycle. And I didn't think about it. And then my bowel habits started to change. I was really constipated. Once again, I just thought maybe I wasn't drinking enough water. Mm-hmm. And then from there, the frequent urination came. And that was like the weirdest thing, because I would feel like I had to urinate and I would run to the bathroom to urinate. And then it was like this weird pressure and I couldn't maybe... Then I was worried, well, maybe I have a UTI, you know. Well, everything kept coming back fine. And so I was like, oh, I'm overtraining and I'm constipated, was really what I just kept telling myself. Mm-hmm. And so we ran our first race in March, and then I pulled back off of training a little bit. And finally come July, after we had taken a trip to Disney with our children, and I was training and I did an upper body like lift, and after that I just started having this like breakthrough bleeding. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I was like, there's something obviously going on. And so I made an appointment, and then unfortunately that first appointment I had to reschedule. And so the diagnostics, I guess, got pushed back a little bit. So, and then I went in and explained to her what was going on. And I remember just crying and asking her if she thought it was cancer. And I think she was taken back by that thought. And honestly, I think I was surprised too, because, you know, why was a 30-something asking their doctor if this was cancer? But there was just this feeling. I just had this feeling in mm-hmm. myself. And, you know, I think by baseline characteristic, I might be a little more high-strung and maybe have some anxious tendencies. But it just didn't quite align, I guess. And even looking back, I don't really know why my initial concern right away was cancer. And so we got the testing done, and really she just thought maybe I needed an ablation, and that I was having like premenopausal type symptoms as a young woman. My mom had went through menopause at a very young age. And so I did the testing. We did a abdominal ultrasound, an intravaginal ultrasound. And as soon as we did the intravaginal, I mean, that day will like forever be there. And they just, you know, I was trying to look up because I was so concerned. And, you know, even being in the medical field, I have a level of mistrust, I will be honest, you know, because you are concerned that maybe somebody's trying to protect you. And I'm not that type of person. I want to know, like, I want to just know what we're dealing with. And I don't want to beat around the bush. And, you know, I looked up and I seen it on the screen, and I just knew that it was not just a typical cyst or a typical, you know, I knew that it was not good. And, they asked me to just, could you just put the towel around your waist and go into the exam room? Like, I mean, there wasn't any getting dressed or anything. And then I was trying to listen to what they were saying, you know, outside the door. And I immediately was Googling what I seen, trying to describe what I saw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and of course, I just knew right away that it wasn't a chocolate cyst or, you know, something like that. I knew that it was not good. And unfortunately, when she walked in, she also knew that it wasn't good, and asked if I even wanted to proceed with having the biopsy done that we were planning to do that day. And I said, of course, because my primary concern was that it had already maybe migrated or metastasized to the uterus at that point. And so we did a uterine biopsy, and then I frantically checked my portal to find out what everything said. And of course, the radiologist recommended that I be referred to the gyn-onc. And so I met with Dr. McIntyre, and she said that she, you know, typically would feel comfortable removing these, but there was something, you know, there too that she was concerned about, and she was going to reach out to the gyn-onc down at Iowa Clinic. And we did not expect a call back so quickly, but I mean, I left that appointment, and in 2 hours they had called me back, and Dr. Kramer wanted to see me. And so we went down and seen him, and that was shortly in October. We met with him. We did a bunch of different testing with him, and nothing came back, you know, really impressive. I had a CA-125, which is like the gold standard, and, you know, mine was slightly elevated. It was, you know, over 30. It was like 35 or 36, and he did some other testing, which, you know, then I knew what his other concerns were as we were doing this multitude of different blood tests, and then we came back in, and he said, you know, unfortunately, I can't give you a definitive. I can't tell you if it's cancer or what it is without taking it out. And he wanted to schedule us for surgery. And I had my second race that we'd been working on in the midst of all of this. And so I told him I was going to do the race, and then we could have it taken out, because I knew once it came out, it just wouldn't be the same. So I ran the race on the 15th, and then, you know, it was also my little girl's birthday. So we, had her birthday, and then I was diagnosed on the 27th of October. And I still remember the first appointment. I didn't want to go in to meet them because, you know, it was such a realization of the situation that we were going to be dealing with. And so I'd like to think that all these experiences is something I brought to my practice, because, you know, every day the things that my patients are dealing with and their families, like, you know, I know what it's like to be scared. I know, and I'm still scared. I mean, obviously, if I wasn't, I probably wouldn't be this emotional still talking about it. But, you know, we all have things that we look forward to, and that get us through, you know, those difficult times. And it's definitely my children, my husband, my family, you know, and.
Well, Jade, it's a huge milestone that you're coming up on, and we celebrate that with you.
Thank you.
I thank you for sharing, as you have today and throughout your journey, with our listeners. I know it was heard by so many people, so many women that really listened to your story, and it impacted their health and made a difference. And to your point, yes, you've been on both sides. You've been the patient, the provider, and you know what that feels like. And so you have helped so many women make their health a priority in this past 2 years. And we so appreciate that you continue to share your journey and the information that you do with our listeners.
Well, I love that. I love that I have a space to be able to do that.
Well, we will absolutely welcome you back for more terrific shows. Again, we celebrate with you this milestone. Again, Jade, thank you for sharing your story, bringing awareness to this important topic, ovarian cancer. Jade is available for appointments at Vandy's Family Health Clinic in Webster City. The number is 515-832-7800. Thanks again, Jade.
Thank you.
And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Diest Medical Center, where our focus is you.